king. And they're going to reject him. And but it doesn't mean that God's going to set aside his promises. And so we've been focusing a little bit on the phrase, the kingdom from the heavens. The kingdom from the heavens, because that looks at a promise that there is going to be a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom for an age from the seed of David, and that's going to be fulfilled. And the kingdom of the heavens has an emphasis on that, of a promised kingdom where Israel is going to have a special place, special privileges in that kingdom. And it's a kingdom in which Israel is going to have a multitude of the promises from God brought to fulfillment. And so we're going to continue to take a look at some of these things. We want to focus a little bit on John the Baptizer this morning and how that fits in. You know, because the Jews at the time of Christ's earthly ministry, they had the Old Testament, but it wasn't, remember, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to illuminate to some of these things. And so they knew what the Old Testament said. They knew some of these promises, but they couldn't see clearly. They couldn't see with focus. Now we have the New Testament. And so the New Testament interprets a lot of the Old Testament for us. And so we have the advantage of that. And so we're going to focus a little bit on some things related to John the Baptizer this morning. And we'll see what Scripture says about who he is. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity to share, to be together, and to relate to your word, and to be brought into remembrance some of the privileges and the provisions of grace. We ask that your Spirit would guide and direct in this time, and may we be blessed in Christ's name. Amen. So let's just go straight to Matthew chapter 3 here. And we have John the Baptizer mentioned. And in those days came John the Baptist, just the baptizer, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye." Ye here, this is an Israelite audience. Ye, second person plural, imperative. Just repent, you all. Have a change of mind. And then we see the message. For the kingdom of, or we could translate it from the heavens, it's plural, heaven is plural here, kingdoms as they are in these 32 occurrences in Matthew, the only place in the New Testament where we have the kingdom of or from the heavens. And so the kingdom from the heavens is at hand. And so they needed to repent. They needed to have a change of mind. Now, the religious leaders, they should have been guiding the people, or they should have been helping the people to understand the promises that they had from Jehovah. But we see the people needed to repent. They needed to have a change of mind. The kingdom from the heavens is at hand. Just literally, it's near, with the abiding result that it's at the door. Is what he's saying. He uses a perfect tense verb here, the baptizer does, but the engidzo, to say it's near, but it's near with the abiding result, that it's at the door. It's right here. And so he's talking to Israel. He's making reference to the Messianic kingdom, to the promise of their king. And then we see as we get to verse 3, we have identification of who he is. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And so this is a reference to Isaiah 40 verses 3. Now it's interesting, if we go back to Isaiah, and Isaiah has lots of messianic references, but in this context in Isaiah, in chapter 40, 1 through 5, we see Isaiah here, he's writing to remind Israelites who would be coming out of captivities of some of the promises that they have. And so this would be something for a comfort for those that who would be coming out of captivities. And so let's go to Isaiah 40. And let's look at let's go ahead for context. Let's pick up in 40 verse 1. Comfort ye my people, says your God. Speak ye, King James, comfortably, just unto the heart, to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, for her warfare is accomplished or filled, and her iniquity, her perversity, is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, of the Lord, Jehovah. Make straight in the desert a highway for your God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And so here we see the from verse 3, though, that's our reference, Isaiah 43, to Matthew 3:3. For this is he, the one spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And so here we see the baptizer is identified as a forerunner to Jehovah. And now we start to look at some of the references, thankfully, in the New Testament. But in Luke, we have recorded the birth of John being foretold. And so if we go to Luke 1:5 and pick up here, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. This is going to be the baptizer's father. This is the baptizer's father. Of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple, just the Holy of Holies of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without or outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight, just literally the eyes of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this is a pimply filling. This is the word. This is would be a mental control, a mental filling. But the Holy Spirit, even from his mom's mother's womb. And many of the, not just children, but the sons of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him. And so here we're in verse 17 now. And we see he's going to be the forerunner before him. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, or the just ones, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so, We see his birth being foretold. We see what his purpose is. Now, if we let's move forward into Luke, I'm just going to pick out certain parts of the context. But let's look at the birth of John the Baptizer. And so let's move up to verse 57 now. So we're kind of jumping forward, but now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Now I did, I guess I could have kept going with Zacharias just so you could have seen that back in earlier in chapter 1. Zacharias had doubt with what the angel had told him. I'm going to back up there just so now I'm mentioning it. We'll just go ahead and go back there and pick this up. So I'm just going to drop back to Luke 1:18 really quick. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Okay, and so, and the angel answering him, said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be, King James, dumb here. You're going to be silent. You're going to be muzzled and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So anyway, I just wanted to drop back and pick up that context. Now going forward, and back to where we left off in Luke 1, 58. And speaking of Elizabeth, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias. after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, No, or not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of that thy kindred that is called by that this name. And they made signs to the father how he would have him called, Zacharias. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all those sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And they that heard them, laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And so now, as we continue on in this narrative, we have the prophecy of Zacharias, the baptizer's father. And so let's just go ahead and continue reading down here. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, this is a symphony filling. This is mental control. And prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have since the age began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Now here Zacharias, being mentally controlled by the Holy Spirit, is making reference to the fourth Abrahamic covenant. Remember, it's in and the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And so Israel's covenant promises, many of them are going to find their fulfillment in the millennial kingdom. And so that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest. And so now he's talking about his son here. For thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, remission, forgiveness of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And so we're just looking at some scriptural references to who John the Baptizer was. And so now the baptizer himself testifies to this very fact. And so this is important, because when he says, repent, for the kingdom from the heavens is near, with the abiding result that it's at hand. If they take him at his word, he's talking about the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant and the the messianic kingdom, if you will. So let's, if we go over to John, let's pick up in John in chapter 1. In this context, I'll pick up in verse 19. And so John testifies of himself as the one that was prophesied about by Isaiah. And so let's go to John 1:19. And so this is the record of John. The word record in the King James, you could just translate that witness here. And so this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you? Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And here we might want to translate this, "the anointed one." "I'm not the anointed one. I'm not the Messiah," in other words. "I'm not the Messiah." Now I'm going to come right back here. Let me, I wanted to, let me go back to verse 6 in John. John 1:6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Now, there's a lot we could do there, pivoting off of light and him being the eternal Word, the eternal Son of God. But let's come back to our narrative where we left off, where we have priests and Levites from Jerusalem, and they asked him, "Who are you? Who are you, John?" And he said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the anointed one." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah? Are you Elijah?" Now it's interesting, if we go back, because they asked him, "Are you Elijah?" If we go back to Malachi. Let's go back to Malachi. And chapter 4. In 4:5. We see that Elijah is mentioned. He's going to come again before the day of the Lord. Now, that's in reference to his second coming. This is where the Old Testament was really a puzzle for the Jewish leaders, because there was a lot that they couldn't see, that they couldn't put together. They couldn't see the two comings of the Lord. And so Malachi 4:5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and shall turn the heart," and then the word turn, or it's the idea to bring back, to return. "And so, and he shall return the heart of the fathers to the sons, and the heart of the sons to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So we have the advantage of having scripture interpret scripture for us. And so we know that's a reference to the second coming before the great tribulation with Elijah. Now, what's interesting is if we go back to Malachi 3, 1, we do have a reference to the baptizer, but he's not named. I don't know if the religious leaders expected that this would be a reference to Elijah, the same person who's later named in 4:5. But we do have scripture that helps us to see that this is a reference to the baptizer in Elijah, or not, Malachi 3:1. And so Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Now, if we go over to Matthew 11:10, when the baptizer is imprisoned, he's going to have some doubt. He's going to start to have some doubt. Is Jesus the promised one? Now, I'm not going to pick up and develop the whole context here, but Jesus is answering some from the baptizer, if he's the one in this context in Matthew 11. And in Matthew 11:10, Jesus references him to that the Malachi 3:1 reference. Now let's look at Matthew 11:9, and we're not going to develop the larger context here. Let me just drop into verse 9. This is the Lord speaking, and it says, "But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." And so, again, we have the advantage of having scripture to help us interpret scripture. The Jews at the time, the religious leaders, they didn't. And so they were perplexed. So now coming back to John in 1:21, they asked him, what then, are you Elijah? And he says, I am not. Are you that prophet? And it's just literally, are you the prophet? Are you the prophet? What is he talking about here? Are you the prophet? Well, we know that back in Deuteronomy, Moses, and so let's go ahead and go to Deuteronomy in chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18, we'll pick up in verse 15. And so now this is in reference to the Lord, obviously, and my Scofield reference Bible references this section. It says, the great prophecy of Messiah the prophet. And let's just read these four verses. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Like unto me, unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And so the prophet there that Moses is referencing is none other than the Lord, God incarnate. And we could see this if we go in reference to the prophet. We could go to Acts chapter 3. And so let's do that. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, because we have Peter make reference to this. And so we'll just drop in, and Peter, and this is Peter and John, and they're about to be taken into custody in chapter 4. But repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, and just announced unto you, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution to you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among his people. Yes, and all of the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye and in or by thy seed shall all of the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And so looking at here, seed. Again, this is the fourth Abrahamic covenant. Unto you first, God having raised up his son. The word son here is actually translated servant, Jesus. Sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Just from, in the word iniquities here, it's malignant evils. And then you see, and as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached by Jesus the resurrection from the dead, just out from the dead. And they laid hands on them and they put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening. Anyway, so coming back to John, in John 1:21, they asked him, what then, are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you that prophet? Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And so now we see, and he said, and that's going to make a reference to Isaiah 40, verse 3. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And so that should make it pretty clear, because he's going to testify that Jesus is the Messiah. And we can see that later in John in chapter 3. And let me just continue on in John 1 a little further. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if you be not that Christ, the anointed one, nor Elijah, neither the prophet? They didn't understand this. And John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but there stands one among you whom you know not. And so it is who is coming after me and is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And so we can, and we see, and these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Okay, so if we go back, and let's see our time, let's try and juggle this. Let's go ahead and go back to Matthew, and I want to pick up in chapter 4. Now, in chapter 4, we have the temptation of Jesus. And that takes us up through verse 11, so in 4, 1 through 11. And so you see in verse 11, then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And when we get to verse 12, something you don't see here is there is a time gap. If you're reading Matthew, you might think, okay, and how do we know that? Well, we can put some things together, and so we have a marker here in verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Now, there's a time gap here. And I'm going to guess it's approximately 6 months. It could be 8 months. There's a significant time gap here from 4:11 to 4:12. Where are you going to go to find out what was going on in that 6 to 8 months? Well, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapters 1 through 3, tells you what the Lord was doing in that time. And so that's kind of fun. Now, if we, to make that connection, you can hold your hand here in Matthew 4, but let's go back to John now and pick this up. And so in John chapter 3, and to make that connection to chapter, let's go to 3:24. In 3:24, for John was not yet cast into prison. And now let's go ahead and continue this on, because here we're going to have the baptizer himself is going to proclaim Jesus as the promised Messiah. And so, for John was not yet cast into prison, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and a Jew about purifying. And they came unto John, and they said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come unto him. So he's speaking of Jesus here. This would be, we could go back in the context, and well, let's go ahead and do that. We'll come back. Let's just go to verse 13. Now, let's see, 3:13. Let me go back. Okay, I think I have a wrong reference. Just a sec. Okay, well, take a second to find it. So we left off, we looked at this context back in John 1, where he, in 1:26, the baptizer says, "I baptize in water, but there stands one among you whom you know not." Now, if we just continue on in verse 29 there, and the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I come baptizing in water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him." So he saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending as a dove, like, similar to a dove. And he, the Holy Spirit, abode upon him, just remained on him. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize in water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes by the Holy Spirit." And John says, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And so this is God incarnate. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, okay, so with that, let's go back to John chapter 3. And we left off. So in verse 25, we have there arose a question, some of John's disciples and Jews, about purifying, and they came unto John and said to him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given out from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. I am not the anointed one. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the promised king, but I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all." And so anyway, we see the baptizer, his witness that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Now, with the remaining time, let's just go back to Matthew 4. And And so after these things that we have just visited in John, and we just look at a few things in John 1 and John 3, but that would contain what Jesus was doing during the gap between 4:11 and 4:12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying that the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and so them which sat in the region in shadow of death, a light is sprung up. And so he makes reference to Isaiah 9:1 and 9:2. Now, in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, and so he began to proclaim, herald with authority, and to say, repent, the kingdom from the heavens is at hand. There was a change. He hadn't been doing that. John was emphasizing the kingdom from the heavens. But if you go back, when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, and then in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to herald with authority and to say, repent, for the kingdom from the heavens, and just literally we could say, is near, with the abiding result is at the door. Now, for time's sake, I might leave off right here, and Lord willing, we'll come back next week. But we have a reference to the gospel of the kingdom coming up in verse 23. And I would suggest this is the good news of the kingdom from the heavens. Let's just skip forward to Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What kingdom? In what context? The kingdom from the heavens. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And this is good news. This is a good news that the promised kingdom, the messianic kingdom, was near, with the abiding result that it was at hand. Now, ultimately, they reject him as the promised Messiah. And there's been an interval. But you know what? That kingdom is going to have relevance again. It's going to have relevance again. We'll go to Matthew 24. And so Matthew 24, a very Jewish context with relevance for the Israelites. You know, Israel is going to be regathered and refined during the tribulation period. And in Matthew 24:14, and this is talking about during the tribulation period, and the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all of the inhabited world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. And I believe this is, would be a reference to the kingdom from the heavens. That gospel is in the tribulation. The good news, again, is going to be that the kingdom from the heavens is near, with the abiding result is it's at hand. Now remember, after the rapture, there's going to be no actual believers on planet Earth. And there's going to be a change because, remember, all of Israel will be saved. There's going to be a refining process during the tribulation for believing Israelites. There's going to be 144,000 Jews that are going to have a message. And there's going to be a lot of humans on planet Earth that will believe, Gentiles, that will be saved during the tribulation. A lot of them will be martyred, but there will be some that will make it to the end of the tribulation and be part of that sheep and goat judgment. And so the gospel of the kingdom. Anyway, we're going to drop off here. I ran out of time, and we'll come back and develop this further. But as we see, we're moving towards Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. And so when you can see the relevance and the importance to the Israelites, it's going to help us to see that the Sermon on the Mount, it's for our belief, but it's certainly not for our practice. And so we can go through it and enjoy it and not be tempted to try and find some application for us. We don't need to do that. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful for your faithfulness and for your character. And as we review these things, we see you do things in ways that we as humans can't comprehend. We're thankful for your word and the revelation of who you are and what you're doing. And may we continue to be blessed as we relate to these things. In Christ's name, amen.